I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Raphael.
And we're too damn young
to be this damn confused. I thought TBT stood for Turn Back Time.
I thought Zendaya was a new fad diet.
Is it pronounced meme or mem?
We don't know.
But we do care.
So we are talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
OMFG is a shot of pop culture Botox that will, fingers crossed, keep us young and fresh.
And super of the now.
We're doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you, because let's face it,
you're probably pretty clueless.
Well, hey Lou.
Hi, Em.
How are you?
Great.
Quite a doozy of a couple weeks that we've had.
Yes, we're back for the first time since the election.
Right. We had pre-recorded one episode and now we're back. And so this is going to be the first time we're really talking about it to our fans at OMFG.
Yeah, I mean, you know, lots been said out there.
Woo.
We're moving through.
Feeling all the feelings.
You know, I had a friend of mine. He wrote me a little something. He said, since Trump has been elected, my biggest fear is that I'll lose my ability to work. Both my sister and I are able to get work permits because President Obama signed an executive order for the DREAM Act. Do you know about the DREAM Act?
Yeah, I do.
What is your experience of the DREAM Act?
I mean, all I know is that it's children who have been here from a very young age illegally are now granted the ability to kind of have more citizens' rights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said if Trump does want to repeal every executive order and action that Obama has put into place, both of these immigration policies will be at stake. Both my sister and I will lose our ability to work. Since we are the sole providers for our family, it terrifies me to think what the future holds. Difficult to think about how we're going to feed and have a home. And that just, like, so hit me.
Oh, I know. And it's almost maddening now to listen where it's all just speculation, right? Because nobody knows what's actually going to happen. And
Right. Nobody
knows what things he said just to get elected and what things he said that he's actually passionate about and going to repeal,
mm-hmm. You
know? So it's so hard. It's just we're living in fear, a lot of fear right now.
Yeah, and my gut, you know, as Oprah told us many years ago.
God bless her.
She said when somebody tells you who they are, you need to listen.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm choosing to believe him.
Yep.
Because why wouldn't I?
Right. Well, and, he has in the past week said some things like,
right. Oh,
well, we're not really going to do that. So it's hard to know what to believe and what not to believe. But what I think you can be terrified by is just the cabinet he's putting together. Because I don't think Trump really stands for anything. I don't think he actually has a personal passion for anything, per se.
Other than himself.
Correct.
Right.
But I do think that the people he is gathering,
they're going to have it.
They have a lot.
Right.
Of really specific ideas. And, yeah, it's really scary. It's a scary time.
So we have a youth coming in. A great girl. Her name is Maddie Ross. She's a musician. She has an album coming out this week called Making Out Is Easy, which sounds light and fun. But she is actually kind of really dug into this election. And she went to Washington and she has been campaigning for Hillary. And I just thought, what a good moment. We've actually were talking to her a little while ago, but it kind of was the perfect time for her to come in and kind of talk to us and love to hear what she has to say.
Let's bring her in.
Okay. OMFG!
This sweet goddess, Maddie Ross, is with us right now. Pinch me.
What a cutie.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Your cute face will sort of cut the conversation of despair and tragedy, which is nice. It's like nice to see a cute, cherubic, like happy big eyes, you know? That's nice.
Well, I am getting the same comfort from looking at your guys' faces right now. I've been trying not to cry all week, so.
Oh, God, help us.
Yeah.
Why don't you just kind of walk us through, because you've had a really an sort of amazing experience. And you were at the White House. You've met with the Obamas and Hillary.
not personally, no.
But you were there. You were there to hear them speak. And
right. Yeah.
So kind of maybe you can walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Well, so I'm a musician, and then I also have a couple other jobs that are basically – I'm involved in corporate diversity and inclusion. So my,
that sounds cool.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty important job to be doing right now. But basically my parents founded this firm like 30 years ago. My mom was a headhunter, and she was trying to place a lot of women and had no resources to do it. So she and my dad founded this company and then got married, and the two of them run it. And now
– love that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a cute little story. Two little Canadians in San Francisco doing diversity and inclusion.
Oh, I love that.
So this year, the White House had its first ever Women's Summit, which was hosted by Michelle Obama. And it basically was I mean, it was a summit to present everything that the administration has accomplished in terms of women's rights, and there are a lot of categories that go with that, and then talk about everything else that there's left to do. So we were there because of our work with gender diversity, and so that was in May, I believe. It was basically – it was 2 days after Orlando. Oof. So I mean, kind of even further backtracking, I came out like – 2-3 years ago. Okay. So I've been kind of slowly like becoming a member of the LGBTQ community. It's not something that you immediately are like, oh, these are all my best friends, and I've jumped right into
right.
it. It's kind of like it takes a while. Like, you know, there are levels of acceptance and levels of realizing like these are my people. Like, this is a separate community that, you know, it's kind of different being gay and being a minority than, you know, being an ethnic minority because mm-hmm. your culture is taught to you.
Right.
So so basically it was just like, it was a really emotional event when that happened for me. And I
– when you came out a couple of years ago.
Yes, coming out was very – yeah, definitely that. But so Orlando this year like that was just really crazy to have happen because it really – I mean, I'm an emotional person and like it's not like most mass shootings are really fun for me.
Right.
But like, I mean, that was just – a particular moment of grief, and like that really actually gave me a whole different outlook on like Black Lives Matter. Not that I ever
It's a great point because how did it affect you? Because I can imagine how it did. But
yeah, I mean, it's just more. It felt so much more personal. Like it basically all of a sudden I was like, whoa, this is my community. Like these are people like me. They go to places like me. They have friends like me and like my friends. And it was just like a shocking experience. It was just like I grieved in a different way, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so to 2 days later go to the White House and to have this event put on by Michelle Obama was like the thing that kind of got me out of it because it was so incredible, like hearing what they've accomplished.
And what are some of the things?
So, I mean, the Affordable Care Act has been huge for women's health. The unintended pregnancy rate is at a 30-year minimum, and like obviously there's a direct correlation with that and making birth control free. So the Affordable Care Act did a lot for unintended pregnancies, unintended. It did a lot for early cancer detection. Breast cancer detection is at like the highest rate it's ever been for early detection.
Because people can afford to go and get themselves checked out.
Exactly, yeah. And, I mean, Planned Parenthood is federally funded, and Joe Biden wrote the Violence Against Women Act in 1992, and he, when he entered, when they were setting up their administration, he asked Obama if he could bring that office into the vice president office. So he was the first vice president to say, like, I want this under my jurisdiction. Like, I want violence against women to be my thing.
And
I love Joe Biden.
What is the Violence Against Women Act exactly? Just an idea of what
I mean,
it's
basically it's basically rewriting. He explained it as, because he spoke at that event too.
Oh my
God. It was it was crazy.
Was your mind just like, what?
I was like, the entire time. Like, it was crazy. But I mean, he explained it as when he was becoming, he was first a senator and was first just reading through the law books one day for his state just to like brush up on things.
Yeah.
He read that written into their law was that if you were randomly walking down the street and you get raped in an alley, that's first degree rape. But then if you go on a date with someone and then walk home with them and they rape you in an alley, that's second degree rape. Oh my God. So basically he said, like, written into our law books is this idea that if you know someone, you're at least partially responsible. So it was basically like bringing to the floor the concept of, like, we can't have that written into our law. We have to change these definitions. So
it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was there at the White House, and that was a pretty significant event. And, like, basically pretty much from that moment forward, I've been really excited about next year's event. And, you know, oh my God, like, by then we'll have a first female president, you know, like, by then we'll all be there and we'll be furthering this same agenda.
And I'm sorry, I feel like I'm asking you so many questions, and, like, you have to give these very
emotional,
long-winded, detailed. But if you can recall some of the things on the table to go forward that Michelle Obama was like, okay, these are the things we need to work on for the future.
Yeah.
Is there a couple of those that we can?
Well, continuing the LGBTQ agenda, like, marriage equality is pretty safe even right now.
Right.
But there's executive orders that prevent discrimination for hiring. There's a lot of stuff having to do with trans rights, which are really important. So mainly, like, especially trans women of color, there's a huge emphasis on that. And there was a huge emphasis on continuing women's health care. Just, like, continuing to fund these programs was, improve upon the Affordable Care Act was kind of the theme.
Yeah.
And we had, like, the Cecil Richards, I think her name is, the president of Planned Parenthood. She was there and she spoke, and it was.
She's been through it this year.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Not a fun job.
So, I mean, I don't know, like, what was your experience? And maybe we can all just kind of talk about what our experience was.
I mean, for me watching it, like, my girlfriend and I went to her parents' house, and we were, like, planning on having a celebratory night. You know, like, I definitely blindly trusted all of the polls that were saying the odds. So we thought it would be a celebratory night, and I was doing all of my laundry while we were over there, and just as it started unraveling, I was just, like, channeling it into, I was, like, washing my clothes like crazy. Like, I was just, like, folding all of my laundry and just, like, freaking out. And I was trying not to, like, have a panic attack in front of them.
I'm just imagining you, like hitting wet clothes against rocks, like you're in a third world country, just like.
I was at the river just rubbing away. No, I was, like, I mean, I just was really panicking. But then once we left, like, I got in the car and I immediately burst into tears, and I started Googling, like, what does this mean for marriage equality? Because, like, selfishly, that's my first thing that I,
it's not even selfish. Like, it's for a lot of people.
And then just, like, I think that the thing that freaked me out the most was, like, if he wins this, like, do we call him President Trump? Like, is that his new title? Like, President Trump? That was really mind-blowing for me. So
President Trump. I haven't said that out loud.
That really freaked me out.
But that is a real thinker, as Emily would say. That's a thinker.
I'm only going to call him Donald, I think.
Donald.
Yeah.
Donald.
I've already decided that.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Donald.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Don.
Don.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost like
casual.
Too casual. Like, I almost don't even want to give him the familiarity of
a
Don.
That's a good point. You know? Don't let him get too comfortable.
Yeah, I don't want him to feel that comfy.
I mean, how is it for you guys? Like, I'm sure it's similar.
I had a weird experience because I was doing a job the next day. I was going on set, and I was had to sleep. So, I mean, I had put myself in the bed at, like, 9 p.m., you know? I was in the bed, and I wanted to be asleep by 9:30, but I was, like, had the computer and the phone by me, and I was like, but I gotta see. So, and then I kind of was really busy in that the next couple of days, and then I think, like, that Friday, I
that's
woke up and
talked.
I was just like, that's you and I spoke. And I was like, glug, glug. It was just like a puddle of tears. I was like, hey, Maddie.
Oh, man.
You know, how about you, Em?
I also went to bed. And, I mean, at the point I had gone to bed, it didn't look good. But when I woke up, it was like 5 a.m. And I, like, saw it. You know, I was, like, refreshing the results on my phone and was just like, oh, okay. And then you know, got my stuff together, started getting ready for work, and my husband.
I'm excited for this.
I feel so bad. He was like, "I'm just so shocked," and I was like, "Don't you dare be so shocked that this country is so racist and sexist." It was like everything just kind of like vomited out of my mouth. I was like, "Don't you dare." And like in my mind, I'm like, "White man." I don't know. Like, I was just immediately angry, like at the world.
White man.
Yeah.
I love it.
I didn't say that, but that was the thought.
The subtext.
Yeah. And to be honest, that's kind of how I feel still about all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At, like, the shock shouldn't, you know, I feel like there was a lot of shock in general about how could he possibly win when it's like,
yeah,
no, he could have always won. He right. could have always won, and he did.
And I did, I don't, we've had several discussions. I did think he could win.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't, I mean, I listened to, there was, I think, months ago, Bill Maher had Michael Moore on as yeah. a guest. And I heard him very clearly
yeah.
when he right. said, "Trump's going to be president." And I heard it clearly, and it didn't shake. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, you know, and then I think when that last FBI
yeah.
moment yeah, so happened totally. And they came for her, I was like, she does not have time to recover this.
Right.
In addition, people don't like her. They're not going to get out the house.
Mm-hmm.
There's no energy behind this right now, and I feel like I personally wanted her to, like, shut it down so hard,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really feel like she did, and I don't know that that would have made a difference, but it just, that moment sucked any energy
yeah.
out that, so that she had going forward for totally. The people who were gonna get out of the house and do it, even though they were not in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it just grabbed those people and right. I was like, no,
that's
it's over.
Still just blows my mind because it's like, no matter what, like, this ultimately inconsequential mistake that she made doesn't, it's not comparable to, I mean, I'm sure we don't have to have this conversation. I'm sure that we
no,
are
but
kind
yeah,
of on the
no,
same
you're
page,
absolutely right.
It's, I like, mean, major false equivalence, and it just makes no sense in my mind. Like,
people's outrage about the emails had nothing to do with emails.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it yeah. just, it's like the silliest thing.
Right.
It was the only thing in her entire candidacy that, like, people had to say about her.
Right.
Which is actually crazy. I mean, there are other things that you could point out that, like, really you could have unearthed a lot from her past mm-hmm. that is not great. But right. for whatever reason, the emails.
Emails.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
Emails equals just sexism in my mind.
Yeah. It's like old yeah. lady who doesn't know how to, who's shady and doesn't know how to work a goddamn server.
Like, did you see some of her, did you see her email about Parks and Rec?
No.
She was like, dear assistant, whoever it was, like, would you mind, like, it was a New Year's thing, and she's like, would you mind, like, switching me to skim milk next year? Also, can you tell me what time Parks and Rec is on?
That's so cute.
Like, what a monster.
Yeah, animal. Animal.
I think for me, like, the shock had to do more with, like, just getting through the campaign was so traumatizing.
Totally.
Like, seeing him in the news is, like, triggering if you're an assault victim
totally.
Or if you're yeah. a minority who's, you know, experienced, like, racial, like, if you've been assaulted or mm-hmm. experienced a hate crime. And, like, I was just like, I can't see this guy every day. Like, just get through November 8th. Like, I completely compartmentalized in my mind, like, we just got to get through November 8th. And then it's like, everything's going to be fine. And it's
right.
like, that was really stupid because...
You know,
here it is.
Just four more years.
Well, I do think one of the nice, or one of the not nice, but upswings is that people are going to get more. And I think, and you said this actually, Emily, before the election, that if he does win, you know, it's an opportunity for people to take some things very seriously.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's already happening in my world. Mm-hmm. Like, I can, you know, I just, people are organizing and activating.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, it didn't happen earlier.
Yeah.
You know, I think seeing all these thousands of people marching in the streets now is wonderful. And I also feel like the moment anyone says like a sentence like all Mexicans are murderers and rapists, then we hop into the street at that moment
yeah.
to protect our people and our community and our friends instead yeah. of, you know, like it just has to happen sooner. You can't hang back.
Right. Totally.
And I know there's, you know, that's just a thought.
I think that people are, I mean, it's easy to be comfortable and like it's really easy to like not confront something until it's knocking on your door. But like my mom this past week said to me, like my mom is just the kindest person ever and like just very maternal. And so she was trying to console me, but she was like, Maddie, like marriage equality, like I really believe it's going to be safe. Like I really believe that if something bad were to happen, the people would rise up and the people would not let it happen. And I was like, okay, but like that is what, like something bad did happen and that like this is me rising up right now. So I think right. that, I mean, like there's so much still to do right now. Like there's a lot happening in these mm-hmm. next few weeks as yep. the cabinet gets solidified. Mm-hmm. Like there's still a race open in Louisiana, a Senate race. So
it's, Foster Campbell.
Yeah.
Donate now, Louisiana. Yeah,
Foster Campbell. So like if you're one of those people that was like, why didn't I do anything sooner? It's like actually there is a lot to do. And there will be for the next few years.
But. So what do we do with Mr. Foster Campbell? What's his deal?
The Louisiana primaries are really weird. So they had their primary votes on November 8th. So they now have their Republican and Democrats chosen. So they still have to vote on their Senate.
And Foster, unfortunately, is behind in the polls. It was a low yeah. turnout in general for their primary. but Foster, the Democrat, is behind in the polls. And if you are able to go there, go there. If you're able to make phone calls, make phone calls.
Okay.
Donating to his campaign,
yeah.
super helpful.
Super helpful. I mean, basically, it would flip. Right now, the Senate's going to be 52-48. And if that one seat goes blue, then it would be 51-49, which means that, like, to block any bills, it's going to be a lot easier if you have, like, one or two people to win over.
How long do we have to do this?
December 10th?
Yeah, December 10th is his race.
And what website are you on, Emily? Because there's the donate.
I'm at fostercampbell2016.com.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Okay, easy enough. $5. You know.
Or 25.
Or more.
Or
I threw in 10.
150.
Whatever. Yeah, well, whatever floats your boat.
Whatever you can do, you should.
Yeah, and I think you're right about, like, making calls, too, and going there. At the time, I thought that I did everything I could to get Hillary nominated or to stop Trump. And, like, now looking back, it's like, okay, I did not
No, but
that.
I think you did do a tremendous amount. Like, don't take this on. You
right.
did.
No, yeah.
This is not your fault.
This is not your fault. You are
Thank
absolved.
Thank you, you guys.
But, you know, there Hold are – there. The millennial vote in general was down, though, right?
Well – I'm not sure.
I'm not What's sure. That? I mean, I've seen the map.
The map.
The
yeah.
map is with, like, if only millennials voted, it would have been, like—
Hillary by a landslide.
Like, four states went red or something with the millennial vote. But I think that, in general, turnout was lower than Obama. I think she just inspired less, unfortunately.
Right.
And, like, there was, like, that article circulating at the beginning of the election about how, like, just running is— plays to more of a man's strength, like the oration and like the being powerful and dominant, and like that's all, those are more masculine qualities, and everyone who's ever run for president pretty much has been a man. So basically it wasn't, you know, necessarily built upon her strengths, which are like listening. Like she's very right. in, you know, in non-election season, she's really great at reaching across the aisle. She's
yeah.
like, you know, has a lot of She's a workhorse. She gets stuff
totally.
Done. And it's, like, not the type of thing that campaigns well.
It's not the kind of thing you can, like, see
right.
and on like, a stage.
Totally. And she's said, like, I'm not Barack Obama and I'm not Bill Clinton. Like, those guys are so
charming.
Yeah. Yeah. Charming. That's a good word.
I mean, I'll say that picture of her the next day meeting the woman on the hike with her dog, no makeup. You know, just kind of her, just so natural and relaxed looking, and
mm-hmm.
You know, was so endearing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, I wonder if that, and you know, it's easy to sit back afterwards and kind of look and say, oh, they should have done this with the campaign. But, you know, humanizing her more, that dog said so much to me about just her day, you know, and her home life. And I think, like, I know that all sounds goofy, but I feel like that would have – there was zero.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're not the first person to bring that up. I think that's been, like, her main critique her whole career. And it's like, how do you toe that line where she started out, you know, obviously in, in an environment where it would be a weakness to show her – her womanliness and her maternal side and her cat. I mean, it's just, it's so crazy.
It's so stupid.
It's nuts. Like, when I was watching the debates, I was thinking, like in the context of 50 years from now, I was like, are these kids are going to be in a history class and they're going to watch videos of the first female president and they're going to see what she was up against, and it's just going to, like, speak volumes. Like, this dude screaming at her and, like, stalking her. Yeah.
He didn't he couldn't answer a question.
No, yeah, I mean, she killed it.
It was unbelievable.
Well.
And, yeah, so I think, I mean, even now, I mean, it's still going to be something that they're going to look back on. It just will be, she didn't win, and that will say even more
it's
about 2016.
Terrible things.
Yeah.
Rotten things.
I know.
Rotten things. So maybe let's take a little break.
Yep.
And then I'd love to talk about, we can circle back a little bit, but also love to talk about your music. Just take a different road because you're so talented.
Oh, thank
you. And love your
story. I really hope it's heavy metal.
Story.
I really am hoping right now.
Yeah, maybe we can come back and play a little something.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
OMFG! In 1962, a mysterious strangler committed the first of 13 random murders, shocking Boston and the world.
Who were these women, and why would anyone want to kill them?
It was the largest manhunt in the city's history.
What is Mary Sullivan's picture doing on the front page of the paper with the Boston Strangler?
50 years later, the cases remain open. Stranglers, the new crime series from Earwolf. Subscribe now in iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
OMFG.
So good.
I love
Thank
it.
You guys.
It gave me a lot of feels.
What kind of feels do you have in you?
Well, it actually kind of takes me back to some, like, 90s indie rock. Which
that's the goal.
Yeah, I really feel it. It's really good.
Thank you.
Who are your 90s inspirations?
I mean, I'm, like, all about Alanis, No Doubt, super... Got really fired up about the Riot Grrrl movement when I was in college.
Yes, like, you did.
I did.
Yes, you did.
I did.
I love those Riot Grrrls.
I do, too. But, yeah, so that, I mean, that's kind of the whole, that's my whole vibe.
Love it.
Like, who would be some of your sheroes? I've never said that word before.
That's an amazing word. I mean, Gwen, I saw Gwen, like, 2 weeks ago. My friend is playing bass for her right now.
Oh, cool.
And he, like, snuck us into the pit for her show. So I was just, like, this far away from her for 2 hours, and it was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Is this, like, the show with Eve?
Yes.
How did they do together?
Amazing. I mean, Eve was not Gwen Stefani, but they have all those songs. They have Rich Girl, and then they did... I forget. They did a few songs together. But
did it feel good when they were together?
It felt good, yeah.
Okay, good.
Why do you ask?
You know, I ask because I heard both of them talk about this tour. Oh. And I was listening to Eve talk about it in an interview, and she's been out of the game. You know, she's been out of it. She was married to this, like, rich dude and having a great time. And, like, she just hasn't been, you know, she's living. She's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's in a really good place. Emotionally and physically. And she said, she's like, you know, Gwen called me up and she's like, we should do this or however it happened. And she's just like, she seemed nervous about it.
Because
she's like, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
and we're just going on tour. Like,
right.
I'm sure it's all going to come together. And this was like a couple months ago. So she's like, I'm sure it's all going to come together. But she, you know, she, I think she was nervous about it.
That's so funny.
But excited and loves Gwen. But that's, so that's why I'm asking.
They were pretty cute together because like, because they recorded that song, like, I guess it was a while ago now.
Yeah.
But they were, and she did her little bit of like, oh, my good friend Eve, like, what, come back, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was cool.
So did you just drool as you said?
I was just like dead. I couldn't even, I didn't know. But also like my friend Brian was so, so amazing. And that was really surreal too, because like, basically I went to USC in like this really small major. We were like basically a guinea pig class for a pop music major degree. So it was like my friend who I've seen play, like we had assignments, like we had to cover certain songs, like we had a 90s era and he was like covering No Doubt songs.
How cool is that?
And it was pretty cool. But it, like, you know, to see him doing that, I'm like, he seems really good. Like, he seems like as good as it gets. Like, he could probably play with her. Why not? You know, but you don't actually know. And then it was like, oh my, there he is. Like, he's
now
just
going to play with her.
Yeah. And then he was just on stage in this huge coliseum.
Killing it.
Yeah. Cool. So it was a pretty cool experience for sure.
I love that. Is that USC program still happening?
Yeah. Yeah. It's still going on. I think they're in like, I was the second year. I think they're in like their sixth or seventh class now.
And you knew, so I want to do pop music.
What?
Is that what you...
Oh, I thought you said you wanted to.
Oh, no. I was like, can I get in? Can I get into the program?
Yeah, I'll help you with your application. Yeah, so I... when I was, like, applying to... I kind of just... When I was doing my college apps, I was like, screw it. Like, I found out about this USC program, and it was the only one I really wanted to get into. So I just, like, focused really hard on my... you had to submit. I applied as a singer-songwriter, so I had to just like submit a tape with original songs, and then you had to just get into USC. Also,
that part, yeah, there was that too.
Small detail. I'm still thinking about getting the Eve paw tattoos. What
do
you guys think?
That's a really good idea.
You know,
on the breasts.
I think they're cute as hell. And I think you know, once your belly is like at full, like around the ninth month, that might be when to get it, you know, and really.
It's a good target.
Yeah. You know, just really feel yourself. Can you get tattoos when you're pregnant? Probably not a great idea.
I don't know.
It's probably frowned upon.
Yeah. Ink in the baby's blood.
You can't get Botox.
Yeah. So then probably not tattoos.
That's the most research I've done.
Good to know. The more you know.
Someone told me, actually, the Kardashians, when they're pregnant, cut the bangs because you can't get the bow.
Wait, what?
They wear bangs because they can't get the Botox, so they hide their wrinkles.
Ranks.
Just a hot tip that I learned.
Oh, my God.
That's a really hot tip.
Insider.
You're welcome.
Wow.
I met Eve, strangely.
I kind of felt that about you. Because you felt very warmly towards her in a way
How did she do?
Wildly inappropriate.
Between you and me.
I mean, I feel like I may have told this story before. But when I was probably 23, 22, something like that. And I was in this improv class. And one of the women that was teaching the class, she also worked for a music company. Mm-hmm. And she was like, does anybody want to make $50? And I was like, me. I'll take it.
She's like, to meet Eve. You're like, right. Oh, I did it.
I mean, sadly, I just wanted the 50. What that entailed was going to Compton and putting on a turkey outfit, like a turkey.
Yeah, we have heard this.
And Eve, I was like in a full turkey costume and passed out like flyers for free turkeys for Thanksgiving. I don't know why that was at a record store. That part was completely not clear to me. But Eve was she was there kind of promoting her record, and it's tiny, tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny little store. So that was like right before she became
Eve. And you're like, Eve. Hi, I'm the turkey.
I actually, so when I say, meal, yeah, like when
artist.
I say I met Eve, like I met Eve and she met a turkey because I don't think I met her out of costume.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So she doesn't know you.
She doesn't know me. I would say at this moment she doesn't know me. But I got to see her and her paws and felt great about her. And I was like, look at you and your hustle, you know?
That's right.
Get your hustle on, Eve. That's right. So when I say I think she's doing great, like from where we started, even I at a little record store in Compton.
I think you're doing great.
I'm so glowed up right now. It's insane. Seriously.
I can't wait to listen back now and hear your reaction when I bring up Eve.
I was like, Eve, I love her. Great. So what else? Look, you've written a beautiful letter. I think we do need you to read a portion of for the people.
Oh, I
love this. I don't know if we're there right now. If you're up for it.
Yeah,
or I could read it or Emily could read it.
Whatever
part
you
want. Before we get to that. So your album was just released.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, is it out?
It's very confusing. There's one song that we're still waiting on, but I have my EP release show on Friday.
So this coming up Friday, so it'll have passed when this comes out. Fine.
It should be out, but...
So when you listen to this, your album will be out.
Yes.
And where are people going to find it? And tell us everything.
It's everywhere. My name's Maddie Ross, DDIE. I don't know why, any person who works at a Starbucks or something, thinks I'm saying Natty or, something crazy. Maddie. So Maddie Ross, and it's on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, all the places, iTunes.
It's called Making Out Is Easy.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is cute as hell title.
Thank you.
Speaking
Thanks
the truth.
You guys.
Except for the first time, then it's hard.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
First time ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Isn't it?
It was disgusting.
I mean.
Gross. I remember just slobber everywhere.
I remember shoving this dude off of me and being like, "You taste like apple juice."
Sounds delicious.
It's just being so
I feel like
disgusting.
You won. Apple juice, you know?
I'm pretty.
There are a lot of worse things that could have ended up in your mouth.
It's true.
Okay.
Emily is just reflecting on her youth. you would say that this album's kind of reflecting on you growing up as a girl in the world. You're just a girl.
I'm just a girl.
In the world.
Living in captivity.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's basically I did, 2 years ago I released my first EP. And that was I love all of the songs for sure on that. But it's definitely you have to go through the process and just complete it and put it out in order to just get that out of the way. So this feels I feel like a real artist now. When I released that last one, I felt like a kid who released music to my parents and their friends, you know?
Right.
And then now this is actually, you know, my first artistic endeavor where I love the music. I feel really good about them. I think the songs are really cool. They really reflect me. And they're a lot about I just know myself more now.
Yeah.
And I know more about my sound and how I like to sing. And
I love when people say that. I know my sound.
I know my sound, yo.
I think that it's just, I think it is really tough. Mm-hmm. Particularly for a lot of people I know who don't play instruments. I play guitar, but I think when I first started, the only thing I'd ever played was acoustic guitar. So that was the only kind of music I knew how to write. And once you start collaborating with other people and just singing when you're, in a weird part of your voice that sounds crazy or being assigned to sing different songs in class, that really stretched me and allowed me to get to this point now.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
So,
this
was an American Idol challenge every week.
It probably could be some reality TV show.
I'd watch.
It was pretty, the drama was really crazy
there
too.
There was a reality show on songwriters and I loved
really?
It. It was you know how some reality shows, when they're really based on talent, they work. And I loved it. It was so fascinating to see people kind of get a topic or have to write a song about something and then watch that process unfold. I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. It was funny too, in our, because we had to take songwriting classes and everyone was dating each other and every song was about another person in our class. And anytime a fight unfolded, it's oh my God, it's going to go down in songwriting next Tuesday. It was super weird. It was really funny.
Yeah, that's a different way to take it to the streets, you know?
Yeah, totally.
To take you down with my song. Okay, so we are just blowing. This is happening so quickly. Maddie, you wrote a beautiful letter, and I don't think we can read it all, but I want you to just pick a section. You wrote it to your future children. You dated it. You wrote it the day after, 2 days after the election.
The day after,
the day after the election.
Yeah.
Would you mind reading us a little bit of it?
Sure.
Just take a section.
Yeah. So I had my friend's mom sent him a text saying, like, write down what you're feeling today because you're not going to want to forget what today
I
was
love
like.
That.
And I was like, oh, shit, that's a really good point.
It is, because even a couple days out, your feelings shift and you lose some of
And what, people on Facebook start posting weird videos again. But, like, for that one moment, you're all in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Good note, mom.
Yes.
Love, friend.
Yeah. Nice job, Robert's mom.
Nice job, Robert's mom. We should have her on.
Yeah. this woman who I've never met.
I'm already, like, super inspired by her.
Okay, which – do you want me to do more early, the first half
whatever,
or the second half?
Whatever feels good right now.
Okay. This election brought me so much hope. I thought it was so fitting that the first female president was running against a monster, a sexist, racist, xenophobic, fear-mongering horror of a person. I said this in the
That's
podcast.
Okay.
I imagined a history class 50 years from now watching the debates and comparing her composure, intelligence, and preparedness to his interrupting her, yelling at her, stalking her on stage, making outlandish comments and incoherent arguments. It would be such a perfect way to encapsulate the obstacles that she faced on her path to the highest office. It still will be looked at that way, but sadly, the message sent to all girls, people of color, queer people last night by him winning is that you can do everything right and you still might lose to this kind of hate or incompetence. And then I'll skip ahead a little. As a gay woman, I'm scared for the future. Today was absolutely devastating. I'm actually a nervous wreck that we're about to experience the next Great Depression, and I hope that he is not able to implement the economic policies that he proposed. But I'm also writing this letter to you, my future kids, whom I already love so much, in full confidence that all of this sounds ludicrous to you now, that we are not reverting back to America's great past, which began with mass genocide of one race and slavery of another, but rather experiencing our next obstacle on a path to a better world.
Then, that's perfect.
Okay.
I mean, that's
so
beautiful.
Lovely.
I mean, I love that so,
thank you guys.
So much.
Top. Yeah, thank you for having me read that.
You're a delight.
You
and,
thank you so
you
much.
Know, I feel like you could be our correspondent to, you know, when there's an action movement to happen, you know, like,
oh,
let
I'll
us
text
know
you guys for
and
sure.
And we can tweet it out and we'd be like,
cool.
Well, Maddie says do this and then we do it.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
That feels really cool.
Okay, great. We're going to need you to tell us what to do, and then we'll all do it.
Yeah. Do you want me to say, we were talking about, like, some of the things earlier of what to do, but do you want me to just list a few?
Yeah.
So when I was in D.C., I met up with a friend from high school who is she now is in PR for Nancy Pelosi, who's a minority speaker of the House, and she was I was like, oh, does it matter when people make those phone calls? Like, I just assume, I mean, like, the phone is obsolete at the, like,
what is a phone?
Like, I've never made a phone call. No. But she was like, yeah, that was my job for a really long time. Like, we have interns doing that all day. Like, basically, the phone calls are really important to calling your reps, and you can, if you call in, they have a tally, so you don't have to actually have a conversation with them. You're like, hey, like, I'm thinking this maybe. You just say, I want this representative to address this issue, or like, I'm not okay with Bannon being, you know, appointed or whatever. And they just tally it, and then they make a report, and then that's first thing on the desk the next morning that they're going to address as a team.
Love that.
So phone calls are really important. You can call find out who your rep is for your district. And find out who your senators are.
And you can actually just Google find your rep by zip and it'll pop up pretty easily.
Nice.
Yeah.
yeah, so that, and then also, like, on a similar note, we have to start holding the media accountable. So if you have a news source that you watch and they're normalizing speech hate or normalizing Trump behavior, just, like, send them emails, like, send them phone calls, write them letters, just flood them with the fact that their listeners or their viewers are not liking the content the way it's going, because, like, that's how it's a business. They care about feedback in terms of, if you don't stop doing this, I'm going to stop watching.
Totally.
So that's also really effective.
Great.
And then focusing on midterm elections. Like, we're 2 years away
two years.
That's not that far if you think about it. Like,
no.
And as Californians, like, we know that we're already going blue. So donate to campaigns outside of your state. Like, that's a huge – I didn't really know about that until this election, but, like – that's how you can make a difference. And there's a company or there's an organization called Emily's List that
It's actually my list.
Oh. Yeah. So yeah. I can't believe you haven't brought it up.
Yeah, take it away. They basically distribute all of their funds to different different races to help try to elect women. So it's kind of across the aisle, but also like this race, they were majorly they're focusing a lot on just helping flip the Senate or hoping to flip the Senate, which they didn't do. But yeah, so organizations like that, like 2 years is not that far away, and we've got to just like keep doing tangible things. Like you can't let the momentum die. You can't normalize any of it. We've got to just like get through the next 4 years by like putting up a fight at every step.
Stay angry.
Yeah, I mean, and just a quick example, you know, the Country Music Awards had Beyonce and the Dixie Chicks do an incredible performance. And because they are so controversial with Black Lives Matter and with the Dixie Chicks and their whole anti-Bush thing, all like so many country people called in and their performance was taken off the website. Now that goes in a different direction. Absolutely. They pretty much wiped it off.
Well, that's a pretty good example.
As if it didn't exist.
Of how motivated.
When you call and you, you know, you get loud.
Yeah.
It can really work.
That's cool.
Unfortunately, that went in the wrong direction. But good example of something that wasn't great.
Yeah. Can I read you guys a quote before we go?
Yes, please.
Okay. So this is like really cheesy and I can already like see my girlfriend laughing at me for bringing in a quote. But this is a Martin Luther King quote that I saw recently. And I just think it's really applicable to right now. So this is from his letters while he was in jail. He says, first, I must confess that over the past few years, I've been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the white citizens' counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I cannot agree with your methods of direct action, who paternalistically believes he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by a mythical concept of time, and who constantly advises the Negro to wait for a more convenient season. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people with ill will.
Goddamn.
That feels like a beautiful place to end.
That fucking got me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so
much.
Where
do we find you, Maddie?
MaddieRoss.com, M-A-D-D-I-E.
Yay.
Thanks, guys.
OMFG! That was so nice. The letter to her kids was so nice.
Yeah, you know.
Like, I wish I had done anything like that.
Well, you still
can.
It was
so reflective and beautiful.
Absolutely. And there's, I think, taking a moment and getting your thoughts down is super important in life, you know, because I know there's so many things over the last couple of years that I wish I immediately wrote down the experience of, you know, because you lose details. Mm-hmm. I lose a lot of details, but we all lose most. And I just really connected with what she had to say and thought she was just a great girl.
She really is. And I loved her music. Not for nothing. That was a freaking jam.
We should play something on the way out. Let's play a little something before we leave. But yeah, you know, I look forward to maybe us as our little OMFG community having communication. Someone has a hot tip. Let's all get on it.
I'd really love to keep having this discussion. I'd really love to keep having guests on that are from all different perspectives and backgrounds and to kind of just keep this conversation happening.
I love that. And you know what? I want the one, like, nice spot after this election went down that because I feel like I have not done anything. The only thing I feel that I've done is participate in this podcast where I do believe we have a very open and informative and great space. I've learned so much from being here, and I think we have had so many different walks of life come through. Mm-hmm. and so many beautiful people that I do feel like we have a great space here for conversation and for diversity.
And to that point, I just want to shout out Maggie by Aileen too, which is such a funny name.
Well, it's a bitch sesh call out.
Who tweeted at us, today is a day when you listen to at OMFG pod episodes all day. Hashtag I'm still with her. And that was on November 9th.
Oh my God, that's going to make me cry.
I'm so happy that we could be there with you to kind of lift your spirits on that day.
And with that, we'll sign off and we'll play a little Cruel is the Love by Maddie Ross. I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster, and we are OMFG at OMFG Pod. It's just for show. Tell me when we can go home. When did you become everything I loathe? When did you become cynical?
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.